This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, now offering Ethiopian Supernatural, a certified organic coffee processed by age-old natural methods. For a limited time at Pete's retail stores or on the web at PEETS.com.
With our allies in the fight for affordable health care.
I'm Andy Seaton,
KBOO News. For KBOO in Portland, I'm Julie Sabatier.
KBOO's Afifa Ahmed Shafi reports.
I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
KBOO's Eduardo Delanderos Tiere has more.
I'm Annalisa Hummel.
And I'm Liam Delta.
This is Maddie Bowden.
I'm Alex Collins, KBOO News.
I'm Michael Newman, KBOO News.
I'm Courtney Dillard, KBOO News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, local police authorities have lost a major battle on the war on drugs in Oregon. A new report shows media consolidation hurts local news coverage the most. An American convicted of the kidnap and murder of Romanian journalists in Iraq may be transferred to Iraqi government custody for execution. And in the human cost of occupation in Iraq,
as of today, there have been 2,786 officially acknowledged deaths of American soldiers. IraqBodyCount.org reports 48,783 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. A new report published by The Lancet indicated the true civilian body count is as high as 655,000 civilians dead.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, October 19th, 2006, 19 days until the 2006 midterm elections. I'm Marlise Franklin.
And I'm Sun Lee. The family of a Portland man who died in police custody last month criticized the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. James Chase Chassis' family says the DA should have gotten an indictment of the three officers involved in the 42-year-old's death. District Attorney Michael Schrunk defended his office's ability to investigate police. Chassis, a schizophrenic, died after receiving 16 broken ribs during his arrest, some of which punctured his left lung and caused massive internal bleeding. Police say an officer accidentally fell on Chassis during a foot chase, causing the injuries. The family cites witnesses who said officers kicked and punched Chassis repeatedly. The state medical examiner cited blunt force chest trauma as the cause of death and wrote that the injuries were caused, quote, by another person or a fall. In the entire history of the Portland police, there has never been an indictment of a Portland police officer for on-duty use of force.
The Oregon Supreme Court today upheld a voter-passed law that bars police from seizing and selling property tied to illegal activity unless there is a criminal conviction. Earlier today, the KBOO News spoke with California Attorney Daniel Abramson, who argued the case before the Oregon Supreme Court.
Sure. Well, in 2000, the voters of Oregon passed Measure 3, which put limits on how and when law enforcement could take people's property and keep it. And what was happening prior to 2000 was that there was a perverse incentive that allowed law enforcement to take property from people who were suspected of crimes but never convicted of crimes, and to keep the proceeds from that property in line, essentially fatten law enforcement budgets with that money. Measure 3 put that abusive practice to an end, and today the Supreme Court of Oregon upheld Measure 3 against the legal challenge from law enforcement. Well, the long-term impact is the protection of property rights of all Oregonians. What Measure 3 does is it really does put a halt to the ability of police to poach property from innocent people. And so, really, it is correcting one of the excesses of the war on drugs and protecting people's property rights against overzealous law enforcement officials.
That was Attorney Daniel Abramson.
Walmart stores expanded its $4 generic prescription drug program to Oregon today. The mega retailer started with the program in Florida 2 weeks ago. Now anyone in 15 states can buy one of the 314 generic drugs offered for $4. Walmart says the move will help people save money on medications, but critics say it's a public relations stunt to compete with other pharmacies. And the cost of generic drugs is only a fraction of the burden consumers face with higher-priced brand-name drugs.
Abortion opponents are hoping to plant their flag on the left-leaning West Coast in November with parental notification measures on the ballot. Such measures are on both Oregon and California ballots. Anti-choice advocates have persuaded voters or lawmakers to adopt such restrictions as mandatory waiting periods or bans on insurance coverage of abortions in much of the rest of the country. Oregon, Washington, and California make up one of only two clusters of neighboring states that place virtually no restrictions on birth control. Voters in California and Oregon have rejected parental notification measures in the past. Both proposals would require doctors to notify parents in writing if their under 18 daughters are seeking an abortion.
Howard Dean was in Portland last night to mobilize voters in support of Ted Kulikowski for governor. Hundreds turned out for the event. KBOO's Stephanie Potter has the story.
The last thing that Oregon needs is a George Bush clone as the next governor. A guy who said he'll sign anything the anti-abortion lobby puts on his desk. A guy who's promised us cuts in health care and education. The problem is we've had 6 years of cutting health care and education so that Republicans can give tax breaks to the oil companies and the insurance companies. We can do better than this.
That was Democratic Chairman Howard Dean, who spoke alongside Governor Ted Kulikowski and Senator Ron Wyden and Congressman David Wu at the Montgomery Park building in Northwest Portland last night. Ted Kulikowski is running in a tight race against Republican Ron Saxton. Dean is supporting what he calls the 50-state strategy to keep Democrats organized across the country. The Oregon Democrats have launched a 36-county strategy.
It's not going to be ever again that the Democratic Party isn't going to ask everybody, not just progressives, not just Democrats, not just union members, but women of all over the political spectrum, every ethnic group, every religious group, including conservative evangelicals. And the truth is, if you're a Christian, you look at the values of the Democratic Party, let us lead, let work for the least among us.
Dean reinforced familiar Democratic themes in urging more participation for getting out the vote in this year's election.
We are going to have a strong national defense, which depends first on telling the truth to our citizens and our soldiers before we send them someplace. There are 36 countries in the world that have health insurance for all their people, and we are going to join them. We are going to put optimism and opportunity back in our public school system again so our kids can get the kind of jobs that George Bush has sent elsewhere. We are going to have real retirement security. The message to our Republicans is keep your fingers off our Social Security checks.
While generally enthusiastic, many of those who attended expressed concern about Republican tactics.
My name is Jay. I think actually things look really good. I think they just have to stay focused and stay clear and not be afraid to confront the Republicans on every distortion, lie, and misleading tactic that they're using to try to keep on holding on to power.
In Oregon, the ballots for the November 7th election will begin to be mailed out to voters this Friday. I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
About 30 people demonstrated in support of a gay Kelso High School student who was ordered to remove a skirt he was wearing over shorts. The demonstrators yesterday said the boy is being discriminated against. The principal, Adele Marshall, says the student's behavior on October 10th was disrupting lunch.
Farm labor contractors in Washington may be subject to background checks and new requirements. This comes under legislation proposed by the State Department of Labor and Industries. Under the proposal, labor contractors would be required to post a bond to cover travel expenses for guest workers awaiting return to their native countries. Fees that contractors could charge workers also would be capped at 25% of gross wages for an employee's first 180 hours of work. A number of Washington farmers are turning to contractors to recruit foreign workers under a federal guest worker program. The changes will be presented to the legislature when it convenes in January.
A Republican congressional candidate in California said today he was not personally involved in sending a letter warning Hispanic immigrants they could go to jail or be deported if they vote next month. Tan Nguyen said he believed an employee in his office might have used his voter database to send out the letter without his knowledge. The letter was written in Spanish and mailed last week to an estimated 14,000 Democratic voters in Central Orange County. The note's letterhead resembles that of an anti-illegal immigration group, California Coalition for Immigration Reform. But group leader Barbara Koh claims that her group did not authorize the letter. Wen's opponent in the Orange County race is calling for the sender to be published.
The current time is 5:10 p.m. You're listening to Community Radio KBOO in Portland, Vancouver, Corvallis, and Hood River. And we ask you now to become a member of KBOO Community Radio. Please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or, if you're outside the area, 877-500-KBOO. And time now to go to Pledge Central.
Hi, I'm Miriam.
And I'm Mike.
And we want to welcome you to KBOO News and time to pledge to support our news program. We have a lot of premiums, special gifts that we can offer you. But actually, what you're really supporting is a great newscast, something that you don't get at any other station. We just heard Stephanie Potter do a pretty long segment on Dean's talk here. I don't think that was, you know, reported anywhere else. We have lots of stories about immigration and farm labor. And apart from supporting some great news programming, if you're interested, we have a really special gift that is available. We only have two pairs of these tickets. They're to see Al Gore this coming Tuesday. That's October 24th at 8 p.m. He'll be at the Theater of the Clouds in the Rose Quarter. That is available for a minimum $150 pledge. Now, what is $150? It's less than $13 a month. That's not too bad. $13 a month, $150. This has a retail value of $90. So we have two pairs of tickets. If you want one of these pairs, you need to call now at 503-232-8818 or out of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. I'm here with Mike.
That's right. That's right. And Let me tell you a little bit of some other fabulous prizes you can get in return for a generous pledge. For $60, you can have How to Steal an Election by Miss Amy Goodman. This is the inside story of how George Bush's brother and the Fox News Network miscalled the 2000 election and changed the course of history. I'm a huge fan of Amy Goodman. You can be too. You can read this great book for only $60. This KBOO is volunteer powered and membership driven. We're cultivating community by encouraging broad participation in KBOO, and we are into integrating cultural diversity both on and off the air. Our members, that's you. For a small pledge, that is you, are the owners of the radio station.
And we have someone who's just called in. We want to thank Carl, a new member from Northeast Portland. Thank you, Carl. We really appreciate it. You know, you may not be able to afford a $150 pledge. That's okay. I know, personally, I can tell you, things are really, really tight. Even if you can give just $5, you know, the way community radio works is people give what they can. People who can afford more, give more. People who can't afford too much, give less. And it all works out into a big community pot. But you're part, if you're listening now, if you're hearing our voices, then you're already part of the KBOO community. You need to become an active part of the KBOO community, just like Carl in Northeast Portland called to support this community radio station. We don't get huge grants from a lot of other places. We don't have croc money from McDonald's like NPR got into $280 million from the widow of the croc family. We don't get those kinds of that kind of support. We get support from you, from people who are out there in the community listening to the radio station, listening to alternative news, news that you don't get from commercial or even from other public radio stations, which have gone, you know, if you listen really closely, have gone more mainstream. So if you support the kind of things that we're doing, if you listen to Democracy Now!, if you listen to the KBOO News in the morning, nobody gets paid here. There are 10 people who have jobs here. So this is community support. Call now, 503-232-8818. Thank you, caller. Outside, 1-877-500-5266. And we're going to go back to some more fabulous news.
Apartment rents in many of the West's major markets are rising at their fastest pace in years, driven by a home buying downturn that has empowered landlords to demand more money. As higher interest rates and eroding home prices discourage prospective buyers, more people are deciding to lease, a choice that is filling up once vacant apartment units and lifting rents. The San Francisco Bay Area, where home prices in September fell for the first time in more than 4 years, epitomized this trend. In Silicon Valley, for instance, the average September rent climbed by more than 10% from the prior year to $1,450. The data is being released today by Novato-based Real Facts Incorporated.
Water quality officials have fined the San Simeon Community Services District for dumping partially treated sewage into the Pacific Ocean again. It's the district's third fine in 21 months. The Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board says the district released effluent with higher than permitted levels of bacteria or chlorine 20 times from May 2005 to August 2006. It's now subject to a mandatory fine of $60,000. So far, the state board has fined the district a total of $168,000 for 59 violations since June 2004. A spokesman for ECO Resources, the Pleasanton-based company that manages the district's sewage treatment, says it's been working to fix problems at the plant and to catch up on delayed maintenance.
Potato farmers in southeastern Idaho got a look at a possible weapon to fight weeds, insects, and erosion: Oriental mustard seed plants. That plant and others were on display Tuesday at the Fort Hall Indian Reservation, where farmers got advice from the University of Idaho on how to use biologically friendly agents to boost the quality of their crops. Scientists planted the mustard seed plants in August. When they are cut in several weeks, what remains of the plants will leach natural chemicals into the soil that could keep crop-destroying pests away. Worries over pesticides making it into groundwater on the Fort Hall Reservation have led the tribe's business council to try to reduce pesticides by 15% over the next two decades.
The number of dead zones in the world's seas and oceans has risen more than a third in the past 2 years, a UN expert reports. Fertilizer and animal waste runoff, as well as pollution from sewage and the burning of fossil fuels, creates oxygen-starved areas in the world's oceans. Oxygen starvation robs the water of many fish, oysters, seagrass beds, and other marine life, and the number of such dead zones has grown every decade since the 1970s. According to new estimates released by UN marine experts, the number of dead zones has jumped to about 200. In 2004, UN experts put the estimate at 149 globally. A report estimates the amount will rise up to 14% globally by 2030. Some dead zones, including one off of Oregon's coast, return each summer depending on winds. But all dead zones pose a danger to global fish stocks, which many marine scientists say are increasingly hammered by overfishing and population.
Thanks, son. The government is looking into which lobbyists may have met with Vice President Dick Cheney. A federal judge is ordering the Bush administration to release information about who visited Cheney's home and office and fulfill an information request from the Washington Post that was refused by the Secret Service. Cheney's attorneys call it a fishing expedition and argue that they need to protect the effective functioning of the vice presidency. An earlier lawsuit over similar records revealed that key figures in a federal lobbying investigation landed more than 100 meetings inside the Bush White House. The judge says the new request has to be honored by the end of next week. At the very least, the Secret Service must identify the records and explain why they are being withheld.
A series of new reports show that further consolidation of the media will reduce diversity in local news. The Federal Communications Commission is currently holding hearings on its proposal to relax media ownership rules. Today's reports released in advance of a community-organized hearing on the changes in New York. Free Speech Radio News' Leanne Caldwell reports.
A dozen reports by the Media and Democracy Coalition say that 12 states they surveyed would lose media diversity if proposals by the Federal Communications Commission are enacted. Jonathan Rentels is executive director of the Center for Creative Voices and Media. His group is a member of the Media and Democracy Coalition.
Even more media consolidation would happen in these markets in states around the country, in all kinds of local communities, large, small.
The report examines what would happen to the media if companies would be able to own both newspapers and broadcast outlets in the same market. It's something known as cross-ownership, which is currently highly regulated. Again, Jonathan Rentels.
He looked at a large metropolitan market in each state, the state capital in each state, and a smaller local market in each state. And we tallied the newspapers, whether they were daily newspapers, weekly newspapers, who owned the television stations. And we simply used the FCC's methodology that they came out with in 2003.
The Federal Communications Commission passed rules in 2003 that drastically relaxed media ownership regulations, including cross-ownership. But a court of appeals instructed the FCC to postpone implementation of the rules and to further investigate their rule change. Dr. Mark Cooper, chief researcher and economist for the Consumer Federation of America, is author of their report.
In many of the markets we looked at, a single firm, if they owned the TV station, the leading TV station, and the only newspaper in town, they would have a 50, 60, or 70% market share.
One company owning a majority of the media in one city is what millions of media freedom advocates are fighting. They say it stifles ideas, perspectives, and diversity. Again, John Rentel.
What media consolidation has done is shut off access to television by independent and creative people. It is now only the networks, basically, who are programming primetime television.
Many newspaper owners are in support of cross-ownership, citing falling profits in the newspaper industry. For example, the Tribune Company, which owns the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, and New York Newsday, also own broadcast outlets. They support the deregulation. Sean Sheehan is vice president of the Tribune Company.
The revenue's not there. The Internet, is, as predicted, is proving to be a revolutionary device. And the societal question is, do you want a free system or do you not? And if you do, you better allow them to stay in the black because they can't report and they can't do programming and they can't do everything else if they're in bankruptcy.
But Joseph Torres, deputy director for the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, is concerned with not only the amount of media outlets one company owns, but also who owns those companies.
The minorities and people of color, historically, we have been excluded from the media, and it's harder for people of color to own broadcast stations as a result. You don't see programming that reflects the communities, different communities of color, and also staffing levels that will reflect the different communities of color.
According to the Office of FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, minorities make up 30% of the U.S. population, but own only 3% of the nation's television stations. The chairman of the FCC, Kevin Martin, promised to hold 6 public hearings on the matter in cities around the country. One has been held so far. It was October 3rd in Los Angeles, where the majority of the public audience voiced their opposition to media consolidation. And an FCC-issued report called the Review of the Radio Industry found there was a 6% increase in the number of radio stations in the country from 1996 to 2003. But the number of radio station owners decreased by 35%. That can partly be attributed to the growth of Clear Channel after the 1996 Telecom Act, which drastically relaxed media ownership regulation. Chairman Martin has written and said many times that media choice is essential to democracy, but a free market must be taken into account. Tonight in New York City, advocates organized an unofficial public hearing in which minorities in the media will be discussed. All FCC commissioners were invited, but only 2 will attend. The other 3 declined the invitation. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Leanne Caldwell.
A new study by Stanford University suggests that the Internet has an irresistible and dangerous allure to some users, similar to other forms of addiction. A random survey of 2,500 adults found that between 6% and 14% of computer users say they neglected work, school, families, food, and sleep to use the Internet. The Stanford team looked for signs of an uncontrollable compulsion, particularly cases where people used virtual interactions to substitute for real social interactions.
The first long-term government study of preschool-age children on Ritalin warns of side effects with the drug. There were benefits for children who had severe ADHD, but the researchers said preschoolers on Ritalin need close monitoring because they're more likely than older children to develop side effects. Preschoolers on Ritalin grew about half an inch less and gained about 2 pounds less than expected during the study. The study appears in the November edition of the Journal of the American Academy of Children and Adolescent Psychiatry. Several of the researchers have financial ties to the makers of ADHD drugs, including Ritalin.
The largest annual study of hospital quality in America issued this week by HealthGrades finds death rates among Medicare patients continue to decline. The nation's average in-hospital mortality rate improved on average almost 8% from 2003 to 2005. The degree of improvement varied widely by procedure. For instance, the risk of dying from pneumonia improved more than 17% and coronary bypass surgery more than 13%. The 9th Annual Hospital Quality in America study examined a staggering $41 million hospitalization records over 3 years for Medicare patients at more than 5,000 hospitals.
A new Associated Press poll says about a third of the Americans surveyed are not confident of an accurate vote count during elections. On the heels of disputed elections in 2000 and 2004, about 40% are somewhat confident and 26% very confident the tally is always accurate. The confidence level in the U.S. was lower than in many of the other countries polled, where three-fourths or more in each country felt the vote count is always accurate. Voters in Italy and Mexico also had many doubts about their elections. Only half in the United States said they always vote, the lowest level in any of the 9 other countries polled.
Evangelicals are calling on Bush to act on Darfur. The religious leaders, both progressive and conservative, are demanding that Bush call an emergency conference on economic sanctions and the intervention of a United Nations peacekeeping force in Darfur. The group Evangelicals for Darfur held a teleconference yesterday to call attention to the worsening humanitarian crisis in the embattled region of Sudan. The group is running print ads in the Washington Post, Washington Times, New York Times, USA Today, and several other daily newspapers in hopes of raising awareness and showing that evangelicals are united in the effort. The ad has been signed by 24 national evangelical leaders representing leadership of over 50 million evangelical Christians across America.
The current time is 5:27, and now a daily commentary from our friend Jim Hightower.
Is it just me, or is the rancid stench of Washington political corruption a lot more malodorous than usual? You might remember a decade ago when Newt Gingrich put forth his contract with America, pledging that if Republicans took power, they'd tidy up the place spick and span, turning it into an ethical nunnery. Well, since then, the GOP has taken total power, the Congress, presidency, and the courts. But Washington these days is stinkier than a barroom spittoon. Take a whiff of such characters as Tom DeLay, Jack Abramoff, Duke Cunningham, Bob Ney, and so many more mugshots in the making. Indeed, there is now so much corruption between lobbyists and lawmakers that the FBI has had to triple the number of squads investigating them. For decades, only one squad was needed to handle such cases. But this year, there are 3 squads with 37 full-time agents digging into the muck. And the FBI official overseeing the mess says he wants to add a 4th corruption squad because so much wrongdoing is being uncovered. The misdeeds are so deep and widespread that the leaders can't smell their own stink. Early this year, when some of the scandals were revealed, the GOP loudly promised to stop the selling of legislative favors. In September, however, when media coverage of the corruption had died down, the House cynically passed a sham of a reform, patted itself on the back, and promptly returned to taking lobbyist finance junkets, using lobbyists to chair their fundraising committees, and putting their spouses on lobbyist payrolls. Their reform was about as effective as tying an air freshener to the tail of a hog. This is Jim Hightower saying, the only reform that'll actually do the job is legislation to remove the corporate money from politics by providing public financing of all congressional elections. To learn more about it, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
This Jim Hightower Common Sense Commentary is brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project Foundation. To learn more, visit www.joinmpp.org or call toll-free 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Stay tuned for Proverbial Perspectives at 6 p.m. following this newscast, and at 7, it's Good Times with Reggae Bob. Weather? Hello, fall. You're finally showing up in the Willamette Valley this week with overcast skies and highs in the mid-60s. In the Columbia Gorge, the sun is expected to peer through intermittent clouds with highs in the mid to high 60s. You are listening to the KBOO Evening News in Portland, Corvallis, Vancouver, and Hood River.
The current time is 5:30 p.m., Tonight, we're asking you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio. Please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818. Or if you're outside the area, call on us, 877-500-KBOO. Time now to go back to Pledge Central.
And I'm Miriam.
And I'm Mike. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we're here. We're going to get an update pretty soon. We're asking you to call to support our fabulous news programming. We have such hardworking people here. We have got one paid staff person who works like a dog, and we have a lot of people who come in and devote their time to getting you alternative news, news that you're not hearing on commercial or other public stations. And if you believe in that, if you want to support that, you need to get on the phone and call and support this program. Here in Portland, 503-232-8818. Outside, 1-877-500-5266.
And speaking of hard-working folks, we'd like to thank the area restaurants who've been keeping us from starving, and will continue to keep us from starving for the next hour and a half. We'd like to thank K&F Coffee House on 2706 Southeast Clinton, Mississippi Pizza Pub at 3552 North Mississippi Street, and Mamma Mia Trattoria at 439 Southwest 2nd Avenue.
Yeah, a lot of thanks to those folks. I have someone else to thank, and that's Max, a renewing member from Southeast Portland. Thank you, Max. We really appreciate it. Those of you who haven't renewed or haven't joined, you need to think about supporting the station. It's a lot of little contributions that make things happen here. And we know, you know, lots of folks can't just dump, you know, $200, $300, $400. But maybe you could give a membership of $40. What is $40? $40 is 11 cents a day. Or 77 cents a week. That's not even a buck a week for a $40 pledge. And you'll get our program guide, and you'll get the feeling that you are an active part of this community. We have $264 to go for our goal for the news programming. And in order to make that goal possibility, or to achieve that, in Portland, you need to call 503-232-8818. Outside, the call's on us, 1-877-500-5266. Mike, we've got some special thank you gifts for folks.
We sure do. Fabulous prizes we have. We've got some fine books, Static by Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now!, and her author brother, David Goodman, follow up their bestseller, The Exception to the Rulers, by again synthesizing radio interviews and commentary with secondary sources on charged issues that the corporate media too often overlook. And you can have that for a $90 donation. If that's a little rich for your blood, we've got, for a $60 donation, Jaded Tasks, Brass Plates, Black Ops, and Big Oil. Yes, indeed. The Blood Politics of George Bush and Company, this investigative account, details how America's economic and intelligence associations with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan led to the devastating September 11th attacks, and illustrates the role that private military companies are playing in George W. Bush's New World Order. And yes. We also have How to Steal an Election, written by David Moore, who, when he wrote that, he was a senior editor for the Gallup poll. It's the inside story of how George Bush's brother and Fox News Network miscalled the 2000 election and changed the course of history.
And we still have two pairs of those tickets to go see Al Gore this coming Tuesday. He's at the Theater of Clouds at the Rose Quarter, and that is for a $150 pledge. But those actually have a retail value of $90, so that's a pretty good deal. If you can afford that, call us here, 503-232-8818. Outside, 1-877-500-5266. I think we're going to go back to the news program for no, we still have a little bit more time. Great. I just wanted to go down some of our run sheet here, some of the stories that we covered here. I was really interested in that Ritalin story that was read. You don't hear too much about that about a study about Ritalin and preschoolers. There are kids in preschool who are taking Ritalin for ADHD. I thought that story was really interesting apart from the subject matter, but the announcer did mention mention that the doctors were affiliated with the drug companies. You don't often hear that. You just hear that, you know, a study's been done and this has been said, but too often, you know, the drug companies are the ones that are funding their own studies. And if you believe in that kind of news and that kind of open, honest reporting, call now, 503-232-8818, outside of Portland, 1-877-500-5266. Back to the news.
The Associated Press is reporting that thousands of U.S. troops are being barred from overseas duty because they are so deep in debt they are considered security risks. A review of military records shows that the number of troops held back has climbed dramatically in the past few years. While they appear to represent a very small percentage of all U.S. military personnel, the increase is occurring at a time when the armed forces are stretched thin by wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon contends financial problems can distract personnel from their duties and even strip them of the security clearances they need to go overseas.
An American citizen facing a death sentence in Iraq lost a court challenge today that would have prohibited the military from turning him over to Iraqi authorities. Mohammed Munaf was convicted and sentenced to death by an Iraqi judge last week on charges he helped in the 2005 kidnapping of three Romanian journalists in Baghdad. Munaf claims his trial was flawed and his confession was coerced. Those would normally be grounds for American citizens to challenge their imprisonment. But a U.S. district judge said he had no authority to intervene because Munaf was being held by coalition military forces and not by the U.S. military alone. That distinction, adopted by the U.S. government, is at the heart of an ongoing legal fight over the fate of American citizens being held in Iraq. But critics point out that the prisons where Munaf and others are held are operated by the U.S. military.
A new report released at the United Nations by a coalition of anti-landmine groups suggests that unexploded Israeli cluster bombs continue to kill innocent civilians in southern Lebanon. Haider Rizvi reports from the United Nations.
The report released by Landmines Action, a London-based group, says that unexploded Israeli cluster bombs continue to kill and maim 3 to 4 innocent civilians every day. The report accuses Israelis of using hundreds of thousands of small cluster bombs during the last 3 days of its war on Lebanon. UN officials working at the Department of Peacekeeping say findings of the report reflect the reality on the ground. One official told FSRN that it might take more than a year to clean up the areas littered with cluster weapons. Both the UN and civil society groups have called for an international ban on the use of cluster bombs, but the US, UK, Israel, and Russia are trying to block diplomatic efforts in support of a treaty that would ban the use of such weapons. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Heather Rizvi at the United Nations.
Tens of thousands of demonstrators hit the streets of Oaxaca City today after Mexico's Senate opened a session on Oaxaca that did not include articles of impeachment against the state's unpopular governor. Vladimir Flores reports from Oaxaca City.
In a late-night session, the Governor's Committee of Mexico's Senate voted against including the impeachment of Governor Ulises Ruiz in its recommendations to the larger Senate body. The Senate's refusal to remove the governor runs counter to overwhelming popular will in Oaxaca. Citizens here have mobilized in unprecedented numbers and have tried everything from petition drives to blocking highways to force the governor to step down. The Senate's decision came just hours after the latest drive-by assassination of a member of the popular movement. Indigenous elementary school teacher Pánfilo Hernández became the 9th fatality in the state's political crisis when gunmen opened fire from a car as the teacher left a neighborhood meeting in Oaxaca City. The Popular Assembly of the People of Oaxaca has declared a maximum alert in light of widespread rumors that the pre-party of Governor Ulises Ruiz has been recruiting people to dismantle the city's protest encampments by force. Oaxaca City, Vladimir Flores, Free Speech Radio News.
Human rights groups rallied throughout Argentina yesterday for the safe return of a missing witness whose testimony helped convict a former police officer of crimes committed during Argentina's military dictatorship. FSRN's Maria Trigona has more from Buenos Aires.
Thousands marched in Buenos Aires' center yesterday to press for direct access to information into the provincial police's investigation into the disappearance of Jorge Julio Lopez. Lopez, a retired construction worker and former political prisoner, disappeared 1 month ago, just hours before he was slated to give his final testimony on the eve of the conviction of the former police investigator Miguel Echecolás. Human rights groups are demanding that the government release state intelligence documents that could help point to groups possibly connected to Lopez's disappearance and wave of threats against torture survivors testifying in the ongoing trials of former members of the dictatorship. Ruben Gonzalez, activist from Hijos, an organization of children of the disappeared, was forced into an unmarked car by four men on Tuesday who beat him while showing him pictures of activists and asking for their names. Groups of organized teach-ins and say intimidation will not stop them from testifying in the dictatorship trials. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Marie Trigona in Buenos Aires.
A leaked official report obtained by the news agency Associated Press says Ethiopia's police massacred 193 protesters in violence following last year's disputed elections. The Associated Press reports that a senior member of the inquiry team claimed the government was trying to suppress the findings. He has since fled the country following alleged death threats. Ethiopian security forces said 58 people had died in the violence, describing it as an attempted revolution.
Sierra Leone's information minister has condemned a British ruling to grant a teenager asylum because she feared female genital mutilation. Minister Septimus Kiki said 18-year-old Zainab Forna had denigrated Sierra Leone with her claims. He said women could choose whether or not to undergo the procedure. Female circumcision is legal and often performed before puberty in Sierra Leone.
Time now is 5:41, and once again, I am asking you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio. Please make a pledge by giving us a call at 503-232-8818, or if you're outside the area, 877-500-KBOO. And let's go back to Marianne and Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. You know, we just went through that international segment. That was kind of really interesting for me. If you believe in the kind of news that we're doing, you need to get on the horn and give us some money. That Oaxaca story was really interesting. That you don't hear too much about that. You know, there were some Mexican elections, and then, you know, that just kind of fades. Nobody talks about that. But if you're interested in a newscast that follows up on the issues, that goes back to what's happening and looks at a country apart from just major elections, you need to call in Portland, 503-232-8818. Outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. Mike, looks like we got someone to thank, maybe?
And Denise Kowalczyk is listening online from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. She's a renewing member, and she says, Son and Marlies rock. Yeah, that's pretty much the size of it, more or less.
Yeah, you can do that too when you're outside of Portland. You can just log on to kboo.fm and listen to us online and just streaming. You can be anywhere. Actually this morning there was a caller from Decatur, Georgia who came in and called, who was listening. And, you know, you can do that too. You're not limited to being in the Portland metro area or into one of the areas that, well, we broadcast you where we have a signal. But you know, all of that stuff is pretty expensive to, maintain. And to keep going. And it's a pretty shoestring operation here. We also encourage people to come down and make their pledge. That way you can see the lavish facilities we have here at 20 Southeast 8th. You know, it's we make your dime stretch really far. Again, if you believe in supporting this kind of a station, 503-232-8818 outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. I think we still have the pair of the Al Gore tickets for $150 minimum pledge to come see the person who actually won the election on Tuesday at 8 p.m., Theater of the Clouds at the Rose Quarter, and that is for a minimum $150 pledge.
And let me tell you about some of the other absolutely fabulous goodies we have in return for your money. We've got jaded tasks, brass plates,
Black Ops, and Big Oil by Wayne Madsen, who incidentally was interviewed by Teresa Mitchell this very morning on Press Watch. This book is available for a $60 pledge. It's The Blood Politics of George Bush and Company. This investigative account details how America's economic and intelligence associations with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan led to the devastating September 11th attacks, and illustrates the role that private military companies are playing in George W. Bush's New World Order. It's the sort of deep investigative reporting you don't really get much in the corporate-sponsored media, which, of course, you get here. Lots of it. We got that all day.
I actually heard that interview this morning. I thought it was excellent. And the author brought up a lot of interesting things about the Chandra Levy case that was a couple of years ago, but the assistant intern who was working with Gary Condit. And I'll not reveal the secrets, but I thought that interview was really worthwhile, something definitely to support. And if you want that book, let's see, what was it, $60 minimum pledge. But you can't get it if you don't call. And what are the numbers to call, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you. You can call 503-232-8818, or the call will be on us if you call 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-KABU. Or get in touch with us at www.kabu.fm.
You know, but apart from the premiums, you know, that's nice to get a gift. And I got a gift when I pledged this time. But you also have to think about what you're doing. You're becoming or renewing your interest in this community, allowing this type of programming to continue. And if you look at it, the big picture, even a $100 pledge is $9 a month. That's not, you know, wouldn't take too much, couple of coffees here and there, maybe cut back on eating out or whatever to support your community radio station. That's probably doable. If you can't do that, even the basic level, $40 is 11 cents a day or 77 cents a week, not even $1 a week. You can't even buy a cup of coffee anymore for $1. I mean, so think of that. So that's something, and the feeling that you're an active member of the community supporting KBOO. 503-232-8818 outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. Do we have an update on how we're doing on this show? Let's see, what do we have in so far? $136 to go is $224. We have a goal, I can't see too well anymore. $360, is that our goal for this show? We need $224 more. That can be done by 224 pledges of $1 or, you know, a couple of different pledges of, you know, various sums, 30, 40, 50, you know, whatever you think you might be able to afford. Let's say you pledged earlier in the year, you pledged in April, but you're actually maybe doing a little bit better. Call in, up your pledge. You certainly can do that. Let's say you're finding you're listening to KBU more than you thought you would. Well, maybe you should support it a little bit stronger. You can up your pledge or make an additional change your electronic funds transfer or make an additional pledge. That's an idea.
So I'm going to tell you folks why I do this, why I spend pretty much the better part of every day at KBU. Number one, I mean, I am a journalism student. I graduated with a journalism degree, but I came here with naught but a very, very expensive piece of paper, and they took me in. And I come here every day, and I'm not saving the world, but I'm doing my part. And maybe that's all you can do in this life, but help us do that. Help us do that by keeping this station, which has been around for more than 30 years, functioning and making some small bit of difference in the world. And we're not just asking for your money. I mean, we can ask for your time as well. I mean, if you can spare it, we always need volunteers. Always, 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 always. There are only 10 staff members here, people. Seriously.
And there's a lot of things that you can do. Let's say you don't want to be on the air. That's okay. It's not for everybody. There's lots of engineering opportunities. But we really need your support now. Call 503-232-8818 outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. We're going to go back to the last part of our newscast now.
Saudi Arabia threw its support behind OPEC's proposed 1 million barrel a day production cut today, giving a jolt to oil prices. The move came as the cartel oil ministers gathered for emergency talks on cutting output following a price decline of more than 25% since mid-July. One OPEC official speaking on condition of anonymity said there was still no formal agreement on the details of such a cut. The proposed cut would take effect November 1st. This would be the first time OPEC has trimmed its output since December 2004, when oil traded slightly above $40 a barrel and the cartel lowered its official production quota by 1 million barrels a day.
Trade ministers from four cotton-producing African nations are to meet United States officials next week to discuss stalled world trade talks. Officials from the U.S. Department of Agriculture will meet the trade ministers from Benin, Burkina Faso, Chad, and Mali on Wednesday. The World Trade Organization suspended the Doha round of trade talks in July, saying key countries remain too far apart for an agreement to be reached.
Researchers say they have identified the most polluted places in the world. The nonprofit Blacksmith Institute lists the Russian city of Norilsk, which produces chemical weapons and Kabwe in Zambia's copper mining, among its top 10. It researched 300 sites to come up with the list. The report says pollution is affecting the health of up to 1 billion people and causing up to 20% of deaths in developing countries.
That's the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, October 19th, 2006. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard this evening, please give us a call at 503-231-8032 and leave a message on extension 203 or send an email to pmnews@kboo.org. That goes for news tips as well. Call us with your news tips at 503-231-8032, extension 203. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM on translator K264AA, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. You can log on to our website at kboo.fm. Our producers for tonight's newscast are Lisa Loving and Isaac Kaplan-Woolner. Our assistant producer is Mike Muckbold. Our wire editors are Jenna Thompson and Ryan White. Our audio editors are Jessica Rink-Perry and Mike Munkel. Special thanks to reporter Stephanie Potter. Our engineer tonight is Jeff Lovell. And the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. I'm Sun Lee.
Hi, and I'm Marlise Franklin. Coming up tomorrow morning, bright and early, 7 a.m., hear the KBOO Morning News. And at 7:30, Anani and Melody host Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Their guest is Robert Jensen, Associate Professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas and author of The Heart of the Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism, and White Privilege. At 9, it's Marlena's Electronic Salon. She'll talk with Ed Goldberg about politics and culture, and she'll interview Portland author Paul Levy about his book, The Madness of George W. Bush, A Reflection of Our Collective Psychosis. At 11, it's Democracy Now! We'd like to remind you that we are in the midst of a KBOO Community Fall Membership Drive, and we're asking for your continued support. Please become a member and make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Now we're going to go talk with Miriam and Mike.
Thanks, Marlise. You know, she's right. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we still have available tickets for Al Gore on the 24th at 8 p.m., and that would be at the Theater of Clouds. That would be at the Theater of Clouds at the Rose Quarter. Yes, yes, it's an all-ages show, and we have two pairs of tickets left. Call in, make a pledge, and at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
That's 1-877.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. 500-5266. And those Al Gore tickets are available for a minimum pledge of $150. They actually have a retail value of $90, so not a bad deal. We have two pairs of those tickets left, just two pairs of those, and you need to come down to the station to pick those up. We also encourage people to come down and check us out, meet us personally. You can have a cup of coffee. Make your pledge that way. There's lots of ways that you could make your pledge. You don't have to pay it all up front. You can do a electronic funds transfer. You can come down and pay it. We can send you a bill. You can put it on a credit card. Any other ways you can think of?
Pony Express, I'm not sure. But what we also have for a $75 pledge is a fine KBOO t-shirt. Yes, indeed. It's very, very pretty. We've got them in tie-dye and yellow. And we've got the KBOO versus the Media Zillas shirt. That's my personal favorite. You have to see this thing to believe it. It's great. We have got all manner of KBOO t-shirts for only a $75 pledge.
We have even t-shirts that are designed by people who work and volunteer at KBOO. One is Kathleen Stevenson, our AM goddess, and one is Chris Andre, who's very involved and does the morning news. We have lots of talented people here who come down and not only do radio, but do lots of other things. In addition to the Al Gore thank you gift, we have How to Steal an Election for $60. And also available for $60 is Jaded Tasks, Brass Plates, Black Ops, and Big Oil by Wayne Madsen. He was interviewed by Teresa on the Press Watch show earlier today. And we have a book by Amy Goodman, who runs the Democracy Now! Program, which you hear on at 11 o'clock in the morning from Monday through Friday here on KBOO. Now, those programs, cost money to get the station together and to buy equipment, microphones. We need your support. But it's not just the cost of running the station. It's your commitment to community radio. You, your active participation. I don't know what the statistics are, but I think it's something like, only 1 in 10 listeners participates, or 1 in 7 actively contributes. There's a lot of folks out there who are listening who are not contributing. So it would be a good idea to become an active member. And to do that, you need to call 503-232-8818. Or outside 1-877-500-5266.
And guilt aside, it is actually a lot of fun down here. Like I said before, I really, really enjoy spending time here. I've only been here for a scant 3 months, but I have to tell you that there, I have already learned a lot. I look forward to learning a lot more. And I learn more about the world just by sitting around and helping to put a newscast together than I do from watching TV news or listening to it on other news stations or reading the paper. I personally enjoy learning as much as I can about the world around me. And if you listen to KBOO, I have a feeling you do too. And that's why we need your help.
And there are other ways you could contribute. We just want to thank now Suzanne from Tigard, who renewed. Not only did she renew, but she purchased 2 gift memberships for prisoners. You can do this too. It's $20 per prisoner membership. You know, these folks don't have, access to a lot of different things, and that's a great way to contribute to the community at large. Thank you so much, Suzanne from Tigard. She purchased 2 gift memberships for prisoners. That was a great thing. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate your renewal.
And we'd like to welcome Nathan from North Portland to the KBOO family. He just made a pledge. He is now a member. And that's right. That's right. If you contribute to KBOO, you are a member of KBOO. That means that you have almost as much say as almost as much say as to in terms of what goes on here as staff members do.
You can vote. You can participate in meetings. You don't have to be even a member to participate in meetings. You just, I don't believe. But you do have to be a member in order to vote, and you can feel part of the community. It looks like we've come up a little bit. We only have $124 for the news program to meet its goal. That can be done a lot of ways, 2 contributions of a little bit over $60 or a couple ones for $40. Let's reach our goal for the news program, which was just $360, which is a pretty modest goal for all of the volunteer hours that are put together to put together a great news program, something that you don't hear at a lot of other places.
And even though I admit it's a little self-interest on my part because I work in the news program, help me keep my job, please. So... But it is a fine, fine newscast. Probably the best radio program I've ever been involved with, and I've been doing radio for 9 years since I was 15. Best thing I've been a part of in 9 years. That's really saying something. It's a vote of confidence, and you can give us your vote of confidence by calling in at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. And if you call that one, 1-877-500-KABU, the call is on us.
Right, that's for folks outside of the Portland area. If you're in Hood River, if you're in Corvallis, if you're somewhere south in the valley, if you're hearing us in Vancouver, Washington, that's 1-877-500-5266. It looks like we might be going on to the next program. Are we ready for that? I'm not quite sure. Yeah, okay, we are. Here we go.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 here in the city.
Don't take this as like I'm telling you.
Good evening. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in Portland, the greater metropolitan area, in Hood River, the Dalles, the Gorge, White Salmon, Washington, all that. You will find us at 91.9, Corvallis, Albany, Salem, 100.7, and on the web for all of our listeners, far-flung and wide, that's KBOO.fm. This is Proverbial Perspectives, the third Thursday installation with your host, Celeste Carey. And as I said, good evening. And I have a few announcements to make to kick off the program. Most notably, we are still and enjoyably in the midst of our membership drive. And that means big things for you. That means that if you have been listening all this time and you're not a member, here's your opportunity, your special invitation to become a member of KBOO. And think of it as a subscription. See, when you think of it like that, like you're subscribing to your favorite magazine or say you're trying to get your satellite service, then it all falls into place and you think, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay, I am getting a service. And then when you think about the fact that it's non-commercial and it's non-corporate and it brings you things that mean something and are relevant to you, then you even feel better about paying for it instead of just listening without being a member. So complete that circle and you will be calling in at 503-232-8818. And becoming a member or renewing your membership. Or if you're outside in some of those areas I mentioned, like Corvallis or McMinnville or Estacada or White Salmon, and I think we go up as far as Longview, that would be 1-877-500-5266. And if you're really out there, you know, even out in the stratosphere, you can still get us. Wherever the web goes, oh, so goes KBOO. So goes you, and you just go to kboo.fm, and you click on that button that says Join Now. Okay. I'm going to take a few moments here with my cohorts up in Membership Central to tell you just one way you can become a member and how you can make that pledge. We're shooting for, I believe, a $300 goal, and I have some really delectable thank you gifts for people who become members today. So let's talk to my guests at Pledge Central, and then we'll get on to the radio program here, the meat of the matter, as they say. Hey, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. This is Miriam.
How's it going?
Hi,
this Miriam. Is Mike.
Hi,
Mike.
I got
M&M
with me today.
Yeah.
And you know, folks, they are so cool, they won't melt in your mouth or your hand. They're going to just bring you the cold, hard facts here about how you can become a member here at KBOO.
Thanks a lot. Loving the show today, by the way.
Oh, wait till you hear it. It's even better. We're talking about community connectivity.
Ooh.
The whole thing that KBOO revolves around, so that's why you really want to get involved. But I laid out some information there and some thank you gifts.
Yeah,
and
I wondered if maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, my pleasure. See, I was trying to set you up so you'd ask me.
Oh, okay. It looks like for a minimum $75 pledge, we have What We Want, What We Believe, a 12-hour 4-DVD set on the Black Panther Party from the Black Panther Party Library featuring three films on the Black Panther Party.
Yes, this is presented by the Roz Payne Archives and Newsreel Films. So now some of you who, like back in the day, like I was, were involved in video production and with the Northwest Film and Video Center might have remembered a gentleman named Lee Lu Lee who also did a documentary on the Black Panthers. Well, this is something along those lines. It is an exhaustive compendium. Yeah, I can say that on the air still, can I? Compendium?
Yeah, that's pretty good that you get all those syllables together. I'm impressed.
That was the last of my brain cells, too. But there are 4 DVDs in this set, and what it does is chronicle all of the achievements, all of the newsreel, archival information, just everything for the Black Panthers. Now, this does for
the Black Panther Party what Bob Fitchaker's book did about the theft of the 2004 election. It tells you who they really are, who they really were, what they really wanted. If you listen to a lot of mainstream media, they'll have you thinking that they were some semi or quasi political thugs, instead of understanding that they actually had community interests at heart when they first started. So you want to know something real about history, you really want to pick this up, you can get this set for a $75 minimum pledge. The retail value is $38. So look at that. You know, do the math. Half of your membership pledge comes back to you as this DVD set, and there's only one, and if you don't get it, trust me, I will. So, 12 hours. Now, I've got a book also available. And this one is called Me Today, You Tomorrow. It's a journey of a street poet, Amde Hamilton of the Watts Prophets. And he was a member of the Watts Prophets who has been performing and teaching spoken words since the 60s. Okay, all you slam poets who like think you really got it going on and you're on the new tip, guess what? You know, Amde and the rest of the troupe have been around long before you, and he has an excellent compendium. Oh, look, another one. Can I say compendium?
Oh, you're really smoking.
That's chills down my spine.
You know,
nice.
A compendium of poetry, of deep thought, a spoken word such as Nina Simone, a fiery blue-black star named Nina came to earth, a beautiful scream in key with perfect pitch. Some lovers, others thought she was a cold person. Yeah, you need to check out that book. You want to get deep, you want to find out the roots of spoken word. Here in America, you want to check out Amde Hamilton, and you can have this thank you gift for a mere $60 minimum pledge. This book, it retails for about $12 to $15, depends on where you shop. So look, some of that money comes back. Now, tell them about electronic funds transfers when you have those larger gifts, and how they can really be stretched out and made painless?
Well, you can just take it out of your bank account on a monthly basis. You don't have to give us a big lump sum. For example, if you want to pledge $75 or $100, it comes out, I can't do the math too well in my head right now. Let's see, $120.
That's
$10
a month.
$10 a month. Yeah,
that's
I can
all.
Do that. Mm-hmm. And let's say you're doing $84. That's $7 a month. That's not a whole lot of money, $7 a month for $84.
No, it's not. No, it's
so
not.
If you can't plunk down the $84 right now, you can do $7 a month instead, and that works with an electronic funds transfer. Or we can send you a bill, and you can pay it in one lump sum if that
yes,
works better for you. There's lots of different ways. You can pay with a credit card. If you happen to link it to Miles, maybe you can get some of those as a double whammy for your KB
mm-hmm.
pledge. There's lots of different ways. You can come down in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. We're between Burnside and Ankeny, kind of a funky part of town. It's kind of a changing neighborhood. Lots of stuff going on here. Lots of places to catch a cup of coffee around, you know, or just to walk around. We're right near City Bikes. So there's lots of ways that you can make your pledge. But you can't do it unless you call 503, unless you want to come down, of course, 503-232-8818. Or outside of the Portland, we pay for the call, 1-877-500-5266. How are we doing, Celeste? We're about ready to get back to programming?
Yep, we're ready to get into the programming. But folks, do make those calls, because we've got four books and one DVD set. And so whoever makes those pledges for either Me Today, You Tomorrow, for $60, or What We Want, What We Believe, the Black Panther Party Library, well, the sooner you make it, the sooner it's yours and not somebody else's. All right. Well, we'll be right back, and we'll be joining my friends Eminem to make more history as we draw in more of you into community activism by becoming a member here at KBOO Portland. Thank you much. All right. Well, having said all that, let me do the rest of my community connection here. I have a couple of announcements here that I want to kick out. One of them is for an opportunity to come together and work on something that's really big in the community. It's like an elephant in the living room that nobody really wants to talk about. It's the Northwest Voice for Christ Training Ministry Seminar dealing with HIV and AIDS in women and older adults. Who is at high risk for HIV infection? How can I avoid exposure? Takes place Saturday, October 21st from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Alberta Simmons Plaza. That's 6611 6611 Martin Luther King Boulevard. For more information or for reservations, because there is a small fee for this, 503-334-6284. And this information will be at the front desk again. There's a seminar for high-risk HIV and AIDS populations. This is for women and older adults. Northwest Voice for Christ Training Ministry, Saturday, October 21st, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Alberta Simmons Plaza. And then the Professional Women's Northwest Network, women helping women become professional or to find their dreams, their career opportunities, and just basically expose women to a lot of different career opportunities. They have a upcoming event. It's called Turn Lemons into Lemonade, and this is October 22nd. And it is presented by the Professional Women's Network Northwest, Women Helping Women, member Kathy Condon, executive coach, speaker, and corporate trainer. Where is this? This will be at the Riverside Bank Center, October 22nd. Starts at 5 p.m., but you can arrive as early as 4:30. For more information, goodness, I love it when they send me a flyer with no information. I think you're going to have to go to the website. What we have is www.prowomenonline.com. So prowomenonline.com is one word, www.prowomenonline.com, for lessons and recipes maybe on turning lemons into lemonade as you find ways to expand and reach further and higher for your professional career. This coming Saturday, October 22nd. Okay. Now, we've done all of our community connecting, and we've expounded all the reasons why you want to be engaged in your community, whether you're trying to find ways to express yourself creatively or whether you're looking to find ways to express yourself in terms of profession, or if you're looking to find out a little bit more of the history of social engagement, whether it's on a political tip or a poetic tip, as you've heard with the books and the DVDs I mentioned. But, you know, there's kind of an end result to all of this, and that's finding ways to come together and work together and maybe even govern ourselves. How do we do that? How do we gather that kind of information? Well, whether you're looking at the Beat Poets or the Watts Poets, or whether you're looking at the Black Panthers, or whether you're even looking at professional women, the whole idea of coming together and strategically looking at how we create opportunities for ourselves is a very important part of our development as social creatures. Now, that was really deep, and let's make it a little simpler. We have an opportunity here with the City of Portland to do something similar to that, but it'll be a whole lot more fun, and there'll be a lot more people involved. And guess what? It's a party right here in your city. And the way that has been designed was through a vision that came from our mayor's office here in the City of Portland. To that end, the idea was to take in information, survey the people of the city, find out how they think of the city, what they think of the city, what works, what doesn't work, and here are my ideas for improving it. And then that information is to be channeled into a series of studies and then bring it back out to the people, hammer out the result, and then voila, we might end up with a new governance system, or at the very least, a new system for interfacing with the city for services and access to our elected officials and finding out ways to make some changes and to improve how we do business with each other and the city. Sound like a daunting task? Nah, not at all. Not when you have some great community partners like we have with us there today. So without too much further ado, I want to introduce you to two people who I think are not only great people, but great for the task. I got with me here today from the mayor's office, John L. Bell, who is the outreach and engagement coordinator for this effort called Community Connect, community and government working together. And then I have Phyllis Laniers of ERCO, who is the program coordinator for small organizational support. Or is it just small organizations?
It's small organizational support.
Oh, I got it right the first time. Hot dog, I like that.
Did good.
Small things that matter.
Small things that really matter. And, you know, and for some people, you said something really that was a little profound there. A lot of times people feel like they're too small to matter to government. They're too small to matter to the larger governing municipality of a state, of a county, of a city. But that's not the case with this effort. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct.
So tell us a little bit about what this whole effort of community connection is all about. Whose dream was it? How has it been trying to trot it out here? And how did you fall into it?
Sure. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being an avid supporter and allowing us to come in today and talk about the wonderful work that we're embarking on as a community in the city of Portland.
Oh, and thank KBOO.
And KBOO, of course, 90.7 FM,
yeah.
KBOO FM.
All right.
As we embark on, you know, some wonderful opportunities to really engage in the conversation citywide of what we really want in a community governance model, but more importantly, how do we want our interactions with city council and city government to be? So during the mayor's campaign, when running for mayor, he heard a number of things from citizens across the country, across the city. yeah, long day. He heard a lot of things from people in our community of what was important. A couple of those things were, one of which is an effort to create a joint vision for the city of Portland. It's our sister project, Vision PDX. And the project I'm working on is called Community Connect, that was formerly known as Bureau Innovation Project Number 8. And the idea is, we know that it's been 30 years since the Office of Neighborhood Involvement has been created. And the idea behind the Office of Neighborhood Involvement was to create an arm of the government that would really be the catalyst of creating opportunities for community members to intersect with the city government, ways for neighborhoods to showcase things that were important to them, and more importantly, ways to resolve issues that particular neighborhoods have had. While these neighborhood associations have been doing a lot of wonderful work, there are some gaps, and there are some folks who aren't necessarily represented at the table that the mayor informed and rightfully so insisted on having a process to figure out how do we begin to have that conversation and bring those folks to the table.
Well, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about this is when the Office of Neighborhood Involvement trotted out the whole neighborhood association plan, that was considered pretty progressive. That was cutting edge way of organizing communities so that they did have access to power, so that they did have some kind of system of self-governance. And so it only makes sense that now we're going to have our strategic plan to kind of reinvent ourselves, if you will. With demographic shifts, be they both in terms of people moving in and out of communities, as well as the large influx of people into the Portland area from other cities and other states, with some changes in our economic basis, such as no longer having the logging industry, into the timber industry, the growth of the technology industry, and a lot of things. A lot of people have kind of moved around and lost some of those connections that they used to have in their communities. And so when you say that the groups are not as representative as they should be, are you looking at how some of those demographic shifts have kind of unglued the structure of the neighborhood associations?
Well, certainly. I mean, particularly in the African-American community, there was a time where folks were extremely active in neighborhood associations. And as gentrification have occurred and different migrations have occurred, East County, Mid County, and other places, folks have not participated for whatever reason. Now, I think more important than that, I think because of the need for the neighborhood associations from so many different bodies, so many different groups, whether it be federal, local, or whatever, a lot of what the initial charge was for the neighborhood associations and the neighborhood system have become diluted. So this whole conversation has begun of what's the core purpose of our neighborhood system, and how do we begin to have the conversation of, although folks have left the table, how do we begin to have the conversation of what's the best ways to reengage those folks and bring them back to the table?
So in doing this, we came up with what was initially called the Bureau Innovation Project Number 8 and has since morphed into the Community Connect, which I think more accurately describes what you're seeking to do. And this process has three phases to it. And can you tell us what those phases are and then a little bit of the timeline for how you hope to implement these phases?
Sure. We have three phases, what we coin as our 3D, and that stands for Dream, Design, and Destiny. The first phase, which started in June of 2006, has really been looking at how do we begin to bring together diverse community interests, and how do we look at what is really the best case scenario of all of our collective dreaming of what we would like in participative model here.
So what's your vision of community?
Correct.
When you see it working, what does it look like? Who's at the table?
Correct. And more importantly, in doing that, identifying the barriers that are preventing folks from currently being engaged. So really identifying what are the things that we're doing really well, but what are the things we could improve upon? The next phase after that is really design. And how do we begin to pull that information and looking at international and national best practices as well as models across the country and the world of how other folks are engaging in their neighborhood and how other cities have created a mechanism to intersect with community members. And that phase is really looking at how do we create potential new scenarios that we could potentially have here in Portland. And the last phase is what we're calling destiny. And that's actually when we're bringing it back to the community members and saying, we talked to you, we heard what you said, here are some things that we put together, how does this look? And after that, there would be a proposal to city council for an adoption and approval. There's some other things before that, but that sort of gives you an overall sense.
So let me look a little bit at the dream phase here, the initial phase. You mentioned that we're looking at the things that worked, the things that didn't work, what some of the barriers are, what some of the, I guess I would say, what are some of the opportunities? Because just as we talk about barriers, I'm curious, so what kinds of things have it been that worked in terms of really drawing people in? Are there any of those that really stand out that when you try to describe this process to people, you hold this up as an example?
Well, certainly we're in the process of finding out those stories now. I mean, mm-hmm. I think a lot of what we've been in process now is information gathering, finding out what haven't worked, but more importantly, what has worked. You know, obviously, I think there's minor things in terms of making sure there's child care provided, making sure there's food, making sure the meetings are at a time where folks can actually attend. More importantly, making sure that there's not a sway in the way the meeting is run, that everyone can feel comfortable when walking in the room. And so there's been things like that. My hunch is as we continue this process, and my hope is as we continue this process and talking to diverse populations across the city, but also talking to folks who are engaged in the system, we'll start hearing a lot more. And that's really why I'm glad we're here today, to hopefully spark some interest in not only getting on our website, which is www.portlandonline.com/mayor/community connect, or you can just go to Portland Online and click the mayor's picture and look for Community Connect on your left-hand column. I'm hoping that we can spark interest to really have that conversation and really begin to capitalize on a lot of those interests.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city and the greater Portland metropolitan area. This is Proverbial Perspectives. I'm the host of the Third Thursday segment, and I'm here with Phyllis Lanier's of ERCO and John L. Bell of the Mayor's Office to talk about the Community Connect process, community and government working together. But as we talk about community and government working together, this is a great time to also talk about community working together as a whole to keep the foundations of government secure and to keep the foundations of the whole idea, the concept of connection secure. Are you doing your part to be connected? Are you fully connected? Well, that's one of the things that we're doing here with our membership drive here is we're seeking to draw people in and to connect them with what I call our community connection, your community connection. KBOO is a fascinating entity. We've been around here for about 30 years plus. I'm guessing right about now we're close to about 34, 35 years old. We're one of the oldest non-commercial radio stations in the world. We're one of the oldest. I think it's pretty safe to say. We have a chance to really dialogue and talk with a lot of other community radio stations and their analogs around the world. Some of our volunteers have gone all around the world to help build radio stations, facilitate radio stations, sometimes just as close as here at home in building low-power, low-wattage radio stations so that you have FM all around the globe, anywhere that people meet and people have information to share. But let me tell you, that's not a cheap venture. It costs money. Here at KBOO, it costs roughly $80 an hour to run the radio station. That means that we're paying electricity, we're paying for equipment, we're paying for bandwidth when we are streaming live on the internet. All of those things cost money. When I'm on More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott, we call up guests and we talk with them from anywhere in the country, occasionally outside the country. And we have to have those community, those telephone connections to do that. It costs money. This is the opportunity, though, for you to not only support commercial-free radio, but to become an owner, a co-conspirator, if you will, of sowing the seeds of true community. So I've got help here from Miriam and Mike. You got some words of wisdom here, like tell them what our goal is and what we need to really punch this up.
Well, I got to tell you, folks, as of right now, we're about, what would you say?
We're right on the threshold.
We're about halfway through.
Yeah, I'd say about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
But that is only halfway. We've still got a lot of pushing to do, and folks, we need your help for that. The number is 503-232-8818, or if you're outside the area, 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-KBOO. That call will be on us. So tell us a little bit more about what we want and what we believe.
Well, what we want is new members.
Well, of course.
And we want those new members to call and pledge their membership at 1-877-500-5266. Or if you're in the city, 503-232-8818. What we believe is that they will find this to be an incomparable value. There is nothing that compares to supporting KBOO and creating a forum for community involvement. Now, if you're talking about the DVD, well, let me tell you, this is the kind of information, this is the kind of item that you want to add to your library to build up a historical archive. This is the kind of information that you want to pass down to your kids. You don't have to be a panther. You don't have to be a black. You don't even have to be a cat at all of any kind. You know, you just have to be a person who's interested in history and groups of people that got together with a revolutionary idea of taking care of their community.
And speaking of cats, we're grateful too. I'd like to thank Bill from Oregon City. He just gave us $180 to renew his membership.
And thank you, Bill.
Yes, thank you, Bill. He's
absolutely.
$180, folks, that translates to about $15 a month. I think my newspaper subscription is more than that.
Yeah, it is. Trust me.
It is.
And it's not as good.
No, I can pretty I can pretty much guarantee you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, kids, we've got lots of other fabulous prizes for you. Right now,
all kinds of thank you gifts, but you got to make that call.
That's right. And if you make that call, and we've got tickets for one, we've got one ticket left for Alan Toussaint. He's
yes,
he's I'm a big fan as well. He's playing on the 22nd at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater.
And two of those tickets are already gone. So
that's
just
right.
One
so
left.
One ticket left. So you get a ticket, and then you can like only have to pay for one other ticket to take your date
actually,
with you.
Well, actually, this is a pair. No, this is a
pair.
Great deal.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
look at that. A pair of tickets?
A pair of tickets.
For what is that, an $80 pledge?
It's 90 actually.
A 90?
But
look at how much those tickets cost.
Those tickets have a retail value of $50.
Yes, they do.
So,
and if you know jazz, you know Alan Toussaint, okay? That's
this Sunday at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater. So to get that last pair of tickets, we're not offering any more than this. Just one more pair.
You
need
call.
To call 503-232-8818. Outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. You know,
excellent.
I think Celeste is just a great person to support. I'm amazed seeing her down here. I know she does that morning show, and I know how much work it takes to get in, you know, in the morning. And maybe you can't come and volunteer on a personal basis that way. But another way to support it is to support the station monetarily, to support someone like Celeste who's giving up a lot of her valuable time. I mean, these programs don't get put together, you know, just off a whim. You got to think about who you're inviting, get the shows together, what the content's going to be, make sure that the people can get there. And there's a lot of logistics that go behind there. And to get out and support Celeste for all the work that she does at KBOO, it's pretty amazing. You need to call 503-232-8818. Outside of the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266.
Excellent. Well, we're almost there. We just need you to make an additional pledge. If you haven't pledged yet, if you're not yet a member, call the number. If you are a lapsed member, come on back. It's no problem. We're glad to have you. But you can't do it until you call. And if you don't call, there's going to be this, just, I don't know, how can I describe it? A gaping hole of missing community involvement inside of you. Yeah. And you're going to know that you have to do something in there. And it's a KBOO-sized hole. So call quickly and fill that space so that you feel complete and you feel good about sustaining a winner. One of the best community-free, corporate-free, non-compromised radio programs and stations that you can support worldwide. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. And we'll be back to visit with my membership's central guest here momentarily, but keep those calls coming. Now, let's shift gears just a little bit because we've been talking about community in so many different ways, and we want to get people engaged. And one of the things that I heard you talking about, Janelle, was collecting this information, how to collect this information, how to create a forum to collect information from people, how to stir them up to even get them out to the forum to collect the information. So with that, I'd like to talk about some ways that you would like to see people come together. Are you creating any kind of forum for people to come to you and collect this information? And then can you tell us a little bit about the survey process itself?
Absolutely. There's a number of ways where we're hoping folks will participate, one of which is to log in on the website by October 31st and fill out your survey. Again, the website is www.portlandonline.com/mayor/communityconnect. And on that website, you'll find a survey that is titled General Survey. That is designed to capture the thoughts and ideas of folks in terms of participation. That's one way. We're also interested in attending different community events that may be out there. Folks can call 503-823-4433. Again, 503-823-4433 to give me any ideas in terms of that. And so we really want to be as many different places as we possibly can. And, of course, we're always interested in volunteers. Phyllis, who helped us collect a lot of those surveys, could add to that conversation as well.
Yes, so I know, Phyllis, that you, I know you work for IRCO, which basically is immigrant, refugee, community organizing.
Organization,
got you. And I've had an opportunity to work with IRCO in a few different venues. But basically, it's a way for people who are newcomers to the country to get involved and talk about what they see from a governance standpoint or a community connection standpoint. So how is this opportunity even viewed within the immigrant and newcomer population? How do they even look at this opportunity?
Well, it was really interesting for us to work with a lot of the refugees and immigrants. And IRCO itself, most of the employees there are former refugees or immigrants. And we talked with them. Some have been here 40 years, some have been here 6 months. And it was really interesting to talk with them. We discussed this Community Connect survey with over 24 culturally specific groups from all over the world. And they were really interested that someone would even approach them asking their opinion. Many people, especially if they're refugees, are coming here to be in a safe place because where their home is no longer safe. And usually it's not safe because they're in a war zone or something. And so,
or some kind of governmental or political upheaval.
Exactly. And it's usually a governmental upheaval. So they have in some ways, a very distrust of governmental entities because they've seen what can happen when government goes bad. So to have somebody approach them saying, we want to improve how we serve you and improve our government was a wonderful thing for many of them. And the survey was basically very easy. IRCO came to this process a little late, so we didn't have time to translate it like we would have usually have done. So we weren't able to get some of the newest refugee and immigrants that are here. But we were able to get quite a number. And it was very interesting to get hear what they had to say about being in a place where they can get and give their opinions and to be able to discuss the differences from what they've experienced and then coming to a new place, new neighborhood, and trying to figure out how to branch out or redefine what they consider neighborhood and community. Many of them have a strong definition of community as being their religious or ethnic group.
Or extended family group.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So to think of it more holistically as their neighbors, the person next door, who may not be of their ethnic or religious group or even family group, was a new way for them to start thinking about how does a city run and how can we be a better part of it.
Now, given the fact that a lot of people, whether they are newcomers to this country and to our language, or whether they've been here for a while but might be disenfranchised in some area, or maybe might have a physical challenge that they're dealing with, trying to collect this information in written form has got to be a challenge. How have you addressed the challenge of trying to collect written information, especially from communities of color, where the documentary process might not be written?
Absolutely. It's certainly something the work group has struggled with. Built into this process was a small amount of funds to distribute to organizations and community groups who work with those various different populations. And one of the populations we're working with, one of the organizations we're working with is doing exactly that. But again, you know, there's always a challenge in collecting this type of data, especially when you're on such a timeline. Although this, we're pushing a huge effort right now by October 31st, this will not be the last time for folks to weigh in on the decisions, and certainly not the last time for folks to give in their input. But we're certainly looking at all those options, and we're trying to do as much as we can. I think some of the work that Phyllis and Ergo did when working with us really speaks, I think, to what the mayor in particular, but more importantly, what Community Connect is all about, mm-hmm. really connecting people who are from diverse populations, not only with the city, but with one another and with their communities and with their neighborhoods.
So just the process of bringing people together to try to collect this information, that in and of itself gave you an outcome of people becoming more aware of different ways of creating community, of abolishing maybe some previous ideals of a limited vision of community. Now, just to talk a little bit about this process, this seems like the primary way you have of collecting information right now is through that survey online. But I remember during the summer that there were organizations and some agencies that were actually going to events and trying to solicit some input with the survey. Is that something that you're going to be doing in these last few days as a push to get more involvement of communities of color?
We'll certainly be attending as many different events and different community groups as humanly possible and capacity-wise possible. But we're also asking community organizations to help us in this effort and making sure that we're reaching out to the populations and different folks that they work with. Really making it a community-wide effort. It's not something that the mayor envisioned being driven by his office, but more importantly, as he always says, it's the community's product, it's the community's goal, and it's community's work to work better with one another. And so it's really a community process to make sure that we're talking to everyone.
And in trying to get this word out and in trying to bring people into the fold, I guess right now is a good time to do this call for action and say, okay, this is what we're asking you to do, people. We're asking you to contact either John L. or Phyllis and find out either where you can get your surveys so that you can do the surveys as a group, or where you can do a survey yourself, or any other way that you can be involved. Is that correct? That's the call to action?
Correct. And you can call me at 503-823-4433. Again, that's 503-823-4433. You can also email me at communityconnect@ci.portland.or.us. Again, that's communityconnect@ci.portland.or.us. You gotta love those government email addresses there.
Well, you know, I can break it down so it's real easy for people to remember. You got Community Connect, and it's at CI, which stands for City, Portland. It's in Oregon, so that's the OR, and U.S., well, that's the country we're in. So it makes it a little bit easier to remember it that way. And if they want to connect with you, Phyllis, is Urkel still trying to create some forums and still doing outreach as well for Community Connect, or have you kind of shifted gears on it a little bit?
Well, we have shifted gears a little bit. The dream process of Community Connect actually ended at the end of September. Mm-hmm. But we're doing a lot of community organizing. One of the things that has come to ERCO, we were lucky to receive a federal grant to create what's called Africa House. As you may know, ERCO runs the Asian Family Center here in Portland, and now we'll be able to do the same thing with all the African communities, bringing them together and presenting services, workshops, different types of things, so that the new African communities that come in, they can really connect quickly and more easily to the services, to the governmental agencies, to the things that they need so that they can acculturate and actually become self-sustainable, I want to say. And one of our big events coming up is at the end of the month on October 28th, when we're having a town hall meeting about Africa House. And that's a great place for John L. and people to be there to talk with the communities. That's where the most of these different African organizations will be present to hear about it. And it's a daytime event, starts at 8:30 in the morning, and we know there's different time things, so we're on African time. We say 8:30, it'll be around 9. It'll be 9:30, but that's okay.
Well, that's because the rest of that time is called come in and socialize.
Exactly,
that's right.
Which is very important,
very important
to all of our communities. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to also, again, reiterate, we really want to have input from as many different people as possible. You know, now that you're here, you're part of the community, and we want to make sure that all of these organizations and people have as much access to their local government, to things that are going on that affect their lives, as much as possible. So that's going to be one event we'll be working
on. Really quickly, that's October 28th. ERCO's got an open house for Africa House, and what's the address?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be at our community center, and we're located now at 10301 Northeast Gleason Street. That's 10301 Northeast Gleason, just past 102nd. We're out in Mid County, And it's the Africa House. It's our town hall meeting, introducing the whole community to this concept of an African house and what that means and the way that many African communities do community.
Excellent. So having said that, then it sounds as though even though you, John L., with Community Connect proper are still trying to gather information and surveys for the dream process, IRCO has kind of kept, I guess, what looks like a separate timeline for your grant through the process, and you're moving a little bit more ahead into the design phase.
Basically, what we're doing is a lot of our programs interface real well with what John L. is doing. So as Community Connect has gone on, we've seen ways we can interface what he's doing with programming we already have in place.
Gotcha.
And Africa House is just one of those many different ones that we have.
They were one of our partners, part of the mini-grant phase we had that really helped us engage with populations that we knew from our perspective that we don't have the expertise in. And so it made sense to make sure we bring partners around the table that did. Real quickly, if I could just add that there are other ways for folks to get engaged. We have four committees that we would love to have folks participate on. They are public committees. It is the City of Portland, one of which is an outreach and engagement committee. We have a models committee that is looking at some of the national and international neighborhood models. And then we have a work group committee that meets. And folks can find out all of those times and locations on our website, portlandonline.com, and just click on the mayor's picture and click on Community Connect on the left side column. We would love to have folks, and we'd love to have people be engaged in the process.
Now, if people are low-tech and don't have access to computers, we can always call on the phone, and what's the number?
It is 503-823-4433.
Now, given the fact that you did have a timeline for this, and we are looking at the October 31st deadline here, which is looming relatively quickly here, will this then be the end of collecting information from the surveys? Is there any thought of expanding that? And I guess the real question is, are you satisfied with the kind of results you've been getting, the kind of response from communities of color?
We're certainly are in a process now of where we're evaluating what we've received and how much more we need to receive to feel as if we've had enough information.
So that you have a representative sampling?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So while October 31st is our deadline for this phase, that's not to say that we're going to stop collecting information, and it may just be more targeted areas of information. Say, for instance, if we're not matching our geographic data or if we're not matching particular cultural data.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I think the main idea is to make sure that we're reaching as many people as possible throughout this whole continuum of the process.
So the call for action, again, just to sort of people know, is number one, if you have computer connections, and you can also do that at libraries, and there are a lot of neighborhood community computer centers. Does IRCO have a computer center?
We have a computer lab for refugees and immigrants, so they'll be online.
Okay, and there's always somebody there to give you assistance. But go to portlandonline.com, click on the mayor's picture, and then fill out the survey for Community Connect, because we need your input here to help build a city. One of the things about Portland that's really interesting, I've heard a little bit of a discrepancy in the actual demographic, whether we're number one or number two. But for example, one of the things is Portland is a city that has a lot of newcomers. By newcomers, I mean immigrants and refugees that are coming to the city and being settled. And many times they're from different cultures entirely, not just in terms of race, but ethnicity. Portland has been called either number one or number two as the whitest city in the United States. Now, that has a ramification for how we help people interface with government. Are we going to look at that as a barrier? Are we going to look at that as an asset? Are we going to find a way to maybe make that not even relevant in how we do outreach for people, bring people into the city, and make sure that they feel connected and a part of our whole governance system? So this is an opportunity also to take what was a cutting edge process, neighborhood associations. That was a cutting edge process when we first trotted this out here. What are we going to do with it now? What kind of quantum leap can we make in terms of our personal development here as a city? Well, we're about out of time here. I've got about 6 minutes left. I want to thank you, John L. Bell, from the Mayor's Office Outreach and Engagement Coordinator for Community Connect, and Phyllis Laniers from ERCO, who is the Program Coordinator for Small Organizational Support. They've come out to encourage you to get engaged. What is that? Community Connect?
Community Connect. And I want to thank you, Celeste, for giving us time on your radio show to talk about this project.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. And don't forget, you can reach John L. at
503-823-4433.
And you can reach you, Phyllis, at
503-234-1541, and I'm at extension 181.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming and helping us connect. And while I've got you here, I'd like for you to join in with Miriam and Mike and I to just talk about that whole idea of community connection and why people ought to support community-based radio. Phyllis, Janelle, any words? Because we're in our home stretch
here. Support your radio.
A big thing is many refugee and immigrant communities have their own community radio stations. That's how they get their information. They get it more from radio than TV, newspapers, anything. So supporting your community radio station is extremely important because you get your news first from your community radio station.
You know, something that she said that was really important, and I know that Miriam and Mike could really attest to this, is you got a community radio station, and it's run by the community. So that means community members come in, and they gather the news that they know each other wants to hear, and then they send it out, and there's this remarkable reflexive, you know, event that's going on. It's like I hear you, you hear me, we modulate accordingly. So how are we modulating out there?
Modulating just great. Thanks for asking. But she is right. In order for us to modulate, if you will, we are going to need your help. And you can help us out by calling in at 503-232-8818, or if you're outside the area, 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-KBOO.
Now, we had a $300 goal. How are we doing with that?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine. We still need about $150.
Oh, come on. $150. That's two people calling in with a $60 pledge and one $40 pledge. Or that's one person who wants to make a $150 pledge. And guess what? If you do a $150 pledge, that is less than $3 a week.
That's and you can also get the Al Gore tickets with the $150 pledge. That's two tickets to Al Gore to see him on Tuesday of next week in the Rose Quarter. And that's for a minimum pledge of $150, but those tickets are worth $90. So that's actually a pretty good deal. Or we could split it and let's say you have two people call $190, $160. We have for $90 a thank you gift for two tickets to see Alain Toussaint on Sunday at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater. We have one pair of tickets for that left. And for $60, we must have something, but it doesn't come across.
Oh, well, we've got me today, you tomorrow by Amde Hamilton. This is The Journey of a Street Poet from the Watts Poets. So.
Right, and for $75, we have the Black Panther Party Library 12-hour 4-DVD set featuring three films on the Black Panther Party. Some archival documentation, really interesting history, historical information there. And that is available for a $75 pledge, but it can't be had unless you call 503-232-8818. Outside of the Portland, we pay for the call, 1-877-500-5266. Let's see, we're still kind of at the halfway mark.
Oh, come on,
there.
We don't need to trickle in. We know you're waiting for that special invitation. Here it is. Call. It's all about you, really. I mean, when we really break this down, it's like this. I get up and I talk to people and I listen to the news and I listen to the things that are not being asked on the television shows and I say, I would have asked this question or I want to know this. And then I talk to people and I say, well, what do you think about this? And they say, well, I think this or I would have asked this or I want to know that. And so then I try to track down guests who have information and expertise in that area and I bring them on my shows. And it's all because I listen to you. Now, I'm asking you to finish speaking And you finish speaking by making that call. That's what it's all about. You connect with KBOO on such a multiplicity of levels. Oh, can I say multiplicity?
Oh, please.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure, you know, FCC and all that.
But no. It goes together with compendium really well.
That might be over their heads, though, so you might have to dumb it down a bit.
Oh, no. That's the one thing we don't do here at KBOO. When we talk about talking to you on multiple levels, we know that that's what you want. You need that kind of brain stimulus. So stimulate your brain so that your brain stimulates that finger so that you roll on over to the telephone and you make that call and you become a member. We need a few more people to make that call. I got 15 seconds to get off the air so that the next show can roll in. And you know what that's going to be? It's one of those specials that we do here for KBOO. It will be Nigerian music special. How about that? Who else
Sounds
will
great.
Bring that to you? Nobody else. And I saw Firefly in the Wings, and he's going to bring you some music that is popping. I listen to his show all the time, and he's actually turned me on to a lot of good African artists that I play on my music program. So you see, it's all a big community, and if you don't step up and be a part of this community, you're going to feel so left out and disconnected. 503-232-8818. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you will feel disconnected. It's like being kept out of the cool table at high school. Do you want that to happen again?
No. All righty. Well, thank you so much for helping me out there. And you all help out KBOO as well, because we are your community connection. Stay tuned for Nigerian music.
Fantastic.